We are holding on Ein Chesem Beis, just past the middle of the Yom, one from Yachdav. All right, so we mentioned that we were discussing how exactly we darshan the pasuk oisaves shoros oisaves benoy leishchatu b'yemechad. That in particular, we were focusing on the word oi. That it comes to include kilayim. That oisaves benoy applies to kilayim as well, and we need that because otherwise we would think it's similar to a korban where kilayim is possible. So that led us into a discussion of that. That led us into a discussion of that we also need the word oisoi in the pasuk to teach us something, which is the chachamim would say that from there we learn that from that we so we have one we said that the chachamim would say that from there we learn that you need that it's either you shecht a shur and its baby or a seh and its baby, then you're already chayev. You shouldn't think that you have to shecht two parent animals and then the child of one of them. So then we said, in that connection, we said, what about according to Hananiah, who uses Oisai for a different drasha? And we answered that Hananiah would actually learn the pasuk. He would learn the pasuk like Rabbi Yonasan, that anyway, when it starts by saying Shor Oi Kesev, even without the word Oi, you would know automatically it means one or the other. You don't need the word Oisai for that. So, my Hananiah, my Rabbanon, what are the respective opinions of Hananiah and the Chachamim that impinge on the use of the word Oisai? So Tanya, we learn in a Braisa. That machlokes is over here. Tanya, as we learn in a Braisa, and it's in Bechoros as well, but it's here in our Gemara, and we're going to discuss it and the various implications of it in other areas of Halacha. Mm-hmm. So this din of Oisaves B'noi only applies to the female. So the mother animal and its baby, doesn't matter the sex of the baby, it can be male or female, but the parent animal has to adapt to be the mother. Whereas Hananiah says it applies to both the males and the females. So in other words, according to the Chachamim, if you were even now, normally again, you have to keep in mind with animals, you don't necessarily usually know which animal fathered a particular baby anyway, because animals are most domestic animals are promiscuous.
Right.
But the mother, you know, because it came out of her womb. But so if you don't know, then even if you don't know, even Hananiah is not going to say that you can't check the baby animal and on the same day as any other male animal in the herd on the off chance it might be its father. We're talking about if you know for a fact that this particular animal is the father of this one, then the Chachamim will still say it doesn't matter. Ein choshishin lozera ha'av. We're not concerned about the father's contribution to the baby. Biologically, there is one, but la halacha, we're not concerned about it. Whereas Hananiah says that it applies there also.
So
forget Basa B'chal. What was Basa B'chal about?
Because
Chalev Imo, yeah. Well, Chalev Imo there. Hello, Chalev Imo over there doesn't mean necessarily its own mother's milk. It means the milk of any animal, whether it's related. There, the point is, it doesn't apply. First of all, only females give milk. As a matter of fact, we're going to learn when we get to that parak that if a male animal gives milk, then it's not included in the din of Basa B'chal. But anyway, the point is, in general, only females give milk. So fine, but over here, the Chachamim are saying that Oisaves B'noi applies only to the mother animal and the baby, and Hananiah says it applies to the male animal as well if you know that this is the parent of that one. Okay. My time is the Rabbanon, so why indeed do the Chachamim say it applies only to the females? Especially when you consider, the actual pasuk says Oisoi Ves B'noi, and that's in the masculine form. So, yeah. So like this, the Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, Yochol Yehei Oisaves B'noi, Noyeg Ben Miskonu Ben Menakevis. You would think that Oisaves B'noi should apply equally well to the mother or to the mother or to the father. But the Dinhu, you can derive logically that it's not so. You would think, because you would argue as follows, Chiyav Kan V'Chiyav Be'em Alabayim. Now, you have over here, you have a mitzvah that you not only have a loisa there, you not only have the shecht oisaves b'noi on one day. We also have, which we're going to discuss in the last perek of our mesechta, we have the din of shiluach hakan, that you're not allowed to take the mother bird together with the baby, the eggs or the chicks, as the case may be. Now, when it comes to that mitzvah, there is definitively only the mother, not the father. Because there, the pasuk actually there the pasuk actually says, lo, lo, it says, yeah, he, yeah, lo, sikacha, e, malabonim. And in fact, Eimal Abonim. And in fact, Tosfos points out it's not just that; it's the fact that the next pasuk then continues Shaleach Shalach Eim. So the fact that it has to repeat Eim again instead of just saying Shaleach Shalchena, that teaches us it means only the mother.
Yeah, but what is
that? That's the point. That because without that, we might think
only the mother.
That, right. Without that, we might have thought, okay, it primarily applies to the mother because the mother is usually the one with the chick, but it could apply to the father. No, the repetition Tosfos was saying teaches us that definitely not. Anyway, the point is, so by Shiloh HaKan, definitely it applies only to the female parent, only to the mother. Ask Shechi of Kan Menachemis, blood is Karim. So the same thing, you should argue that by a binyan av, the same thing should apply to Osev Espinoy, only the female, not the male. However, the Braisa continues loy, because we might think, the draw a comparison. If you have two different mitzvahs, one where the Torah, both of them which apply to a parent and a child, and one of them the Torah specifies that it's only the female, so the same way you would think the other one. But loy, on the other hand, continues the Braisa, not necessarily. Im amarcha the Eimal Abonim, you can say, you know why by Eimal Abonim, by Shiloh HaKan, you know why it applies only to the mother? Because we have another kula in it. Shekein let osaba mezuman, she'ene mezuman. Because when it comes to Shiloh HaKan, there's a difference. It doesn't apply to a nest that was mezuman, that's already prepared, in other words, that belongs to you. As we'll learn in the last parak, for example, if you have domesticated birds, you know, why is it, for example, I mean, you could, in principle, if you raise chickens, let's say, you're allowed to take a mother bird, you're allowed to take the chicken, the hen, and shecht her, and also take the eggs at the same time. Why? What happened to Shiloh HaKan? No, it would apply to eggs as well. The reason why it doesn't apply there is because mezuman, it's already prepared, it's already in your possession. The pasuk phrases it, ki yikore kan tzipor lofanecha, if you happen upon a bird's nest. So ki yikore prakla mezuman, it comes to exclude the case where it's already pre-prepared for you because it's already in your chicken coop or what have you.
If you find it, basically.
Yeah.
If you're farming them,
then it doesn't count, right? So there you have another kula that it doesn't apply to mezuman.
If it happens.
How are you thinking to compare Osev Espinoy? You have a chumrah. It applies whether the animals previously belonged to you or not.
You don't find animals all the time.
That's not the point. The point is that you have a chumrah in this that you don't have in that. Therefore, since we can't learn from Eimal Abonim, and therefore we would think it applies to both parents, Talmud Loma Oisoi. That is why the Chachamim say, therefore you have the word Oisoi, meaning Echad V'loi Beis. So the word Oisoi means it. So therefore it only applies to one of the two sexes, either male or female. Now we have to figure out which one. So now the pasuk is distinguishing and telling us that you should know, unlike we might have thought based on what we said before, that there's a chumrah in it over Shiloh HaKan, and therefore maybe it should apply to both parents. The word oisai clearly teaches us it's only the one. Now that we may have that distinction, so chisi ladin, then we're able to, now we're able to go back to the original din, to the original logical analysis, and try to learn from Shiloh HaKan after all. Namely, Chiyav Kan, B'Chiyav Be'emal Abonim. So again, we do after all have a mitzvah over here, we have an issue over here that applies to a parent and a child, and we have another one when it comes to Shiloh HaKan. Mach, Shechiyav Be'emal Abonim, in a cave, Tzvaleh B'Zcharim, just like when it comes to Emal Abonim, it applies only to the mother, not the father. The same thing on mitzvah over here. Before we thought we can't learn from Shiloh HaKan because there it has a chumrah. But now that we're establishing that both by Shiloh HaKan and by here, we have, it's restricted to only one sex of parent, and in the case of Shiloh HaKan, it's only the mother, then we have no particular reason to think that by Osev Espinoy, it should be the father. Therefore, Vapashtus is the same thing. It's the mother as well. Ach Shekhi of Khan, so therefore, when it's Machayev over here, it's also been a Kavis while I was calling. The Imnach Shekh Loimar, however, continues the Braitha, still, you might be able to say something. You might be able to slug up that comparison, as the Gemara will explain soon how you might try to slug it up. One second. You might argue the imnaf shechloimer. If you're thinking to say that I have an objection to that, then I'll tell you a different reason why we know from the pasuk itself that it applies only to the female parent, because the pasuk says b'noi oisev es b'noi, meaning misha b'noi koruch achrod. The din only applies to the parent that the baby is attached to, not physically attached, but in other words, like emotionally attached. Like it always follows that particular parent. A baby, which parent does it more naturally follow? The mother. Therefore, that yotzei zachar shein bnei korach achrav. So therefore, that excludes the male parent because the baby is not usually very particularly attached to him. So far, that's the Chachamim saying, how we learn that oisav es bnei only applies to the male parent. Now, ma im nafshach v'aymar. So when we said in the Braisa, we said towards the end, if you're minded to say, in other words, to object to our limud from Shiloh HaKan, then instead I'll explain to you that we're learning from Benoi. So what's the im nafshach v'aymar? What kind of objection would you be able to bring to the limud from Shiloh HaKan that we need another source? Because you're going to answer very simply, oisoi zachar mashma. The fact of the matter is, by Shiloh HaKan, it says ein, but over here it says oisoi, which is in the masculine gender, so it should mean the male parent. Therefore, harayorim b'noi, misha b'noi korach achrav, yatsa zachar shein b'noi korach achrav. So there we go. So we start by trying to learn from Eimal Abonim. We say, on the face of it, we can't do that because there you have a kula, which you don't have by oisoi b'noi. Then we say, which is a fact, mezuman versus not. On the other hand, then we're saying we have the word oisoi, so that makes it clear it applies to only one parent, either the mother or the father. Then we go back to Shiloh HaKan and say, in that case, it must be the female. You're going to argue that over there it says aim and over here it says oisoi. Okay, but since it says b'noi, on the other hand, it means misha b'noi koruch achrav. It means the one that the child tends to follow. In fact, Tosfos points out, that's fine. I'll explain in a second why that is. But actually, Tosfos points out, it's not just the word b'noi, it's actually the word bein itself implies that it's a child. In other words, it's a child that naturally follows their parent. And which would that be? It naturally follows the female parent.
Well, it also follows the father.
Fine, we're talking about among animals. Among animals, there's not really a difference between male and female babies. When they're babies, they tend to follow, they tend to either sex of baby, they tend to follow the mother. Okay, so why does it say oisoi v'espinoi in that case? So the Ramban, I'm sort of explains. First of all, when it comes to animals in general, the Torah is not always careful to keep the appropriate gender. Sometimes it'll use, for example, the word shur or seh or whatever, which is a generic term for the species, even though in the particular case it may be talking about female. And in this particular case, since this pasuk follows from the previous pasuk, shur ekesevei eiz ki yivolid, that when an ox or whatever is born, that it has to be with its mother 7 days, and only from the 8th day on you can shecht it. And there it uses the word shur ekesev. So over here, the pasuk is not going to all of a sudden change and say para ekesev or whatever. It'll use the same term shur ekesev for consistency. Say it, yes. Okay. Now that's all according to the Chacham. Vila Chananya, what about according to Chananya? He will say, fine, but on the other hand, you have to consider, Ksiv Oisoi Dimashma Zachar. On the other hand, the fact of the matter is, we do have the word Oisoi, which means on the surface of it, Oisoi means him, the male. Uchtiv Bnoi, and on the other hand, you have the word Bnoi, which Chananya says, fine, I agree that Bnoi means Mishab Bnoi Koruch Achrav, the parent which the baby naturally sticks to and follows. Dimashma Nakeva, that implies the female. Oisei v'es b'noi.
It should have said oisei
v'noi. No, v'es is a normal thing that it can say in these things. Hilchach noyeg ben b'tchorim ben merkebis. Therefore, that's where Chananya gets that it applies both to the males and the females. Because on the one hand, the Chachamim are saying oisei is only teaching us that it applies to one gender, to one sex, and then we're learning from b'noi that it applies to the female. Chananya says no, but on the other hand, the fact is oisei is written in masculine form, and b'noi, on the other hand, implies the female, so therefore it means both. Omer of Huna Bachia Omer Shmuel Hilchasa Chananya. Hold on. The halacha is like Chananya, but we're going to see. Actually, we're going to see that's not so simple. But as the Shmuel Taimei, and in fact, in saying that, Shmuel goes according to his own shita. Namely, in other words, what it comes out to so far is Chananya is saying that both that choshishin lo zara ha'av, we do have to consider the male parentage of this animal. We can't just say, in other words, that it's only the mother who carried this baby for 5 or 9 months. That's important as far as halacha. We have to say that the father is also important. Again, assuming we know which particular animal it is. Otherwise, we don't have to ask her to shecht all the adult animals together with one of the babies. Yeah. Anyway. So Chananya is saying that Choshishin was there. So Shmuel is going, when he says the halacha, is like Chananya is going according to his own shita, which we find in a different context, this concept of Choshishin was there. The Tanan, namely, we learn in a Mishnah in Kilayim. Now we know, the Torah tells us that You're not allowed to crossbreed different animals of different species together. You're also not allowed to have them. You're also not allowed to have them pull a wagon or whatever together. So what's a horse and a donkey? So now since we're talking about a horse and a donkey, so we know you can breed together a horse and a donkey and produce a mule.
Yeah.
And you have two different ways of doing that. In English, in fact, you have two different names for them. The usual kind of thing is you mate a male horse with a female donkey. The other way around. The usual thing is you mate a female horse with a male donkey, and the result of that is called a mule, and it's a very strong, tough animal, although very stubborn. And then on the other hand, you can mate them the other way around. You can take a male horse and a female donkey and mate them. In English, such a thing is actually called a hinny.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we'll see later on the Almud.
Sort of
it's also kind of a mule, but the difference is, yeah, that's what we're going to discuss in the Gemara, basically. Is there a difference between them as far as halacha?
Mm-hmm.
So that's the thing. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, so we learn in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda says, Hanelodim min hasus, baby animals that are born from a female horse, from a mare, So even if the father of one of these babies is a donkey, in other words, so you have this female horse, this mare is giving birth to different babies. Sometimes it's being bred with a male horse, and the result is a horse, is a baby horse, a pony. And other times it's being bred with a male donkey, and the result is a mule. Rabbi Yehuda is saying, even though mutarin zebazeh, they're still allowed. You're allowed to crossbreed them or have them pull wagons or whatever, one with the other. Because, in other words, what it is... Let me say it a little differently. One case is we're talking about that... You have a mule that was born from a female horse, and you have a female horse and a male donkey that were crossbred, and they have and no 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 that's for this one we're talking about
female
horse and male donkey. So now you have that she gave birth to a male and she gave birth to a female. Rabbi Yehuda is saying that those two, Afa Pishavi and Chamor, even though their father is a donkey, Mutarin Zebazeh, you're allowed to have them pull a wagon together or crossbreed them or whatever. And the point is, that shows that what is it? If we were to say Choshishin Lazera Ha'av, then what it means is we would have to consider with each one of these animals is part donkey and part horse. So when you crossbreed them, it comes out then that you have the half of the one animal, which is a horse, is being bred with the half of the other animal, that's the donkey, and vice versa. Because each one is breeding. They can be crossed. It's a little bit sterile, but nevertheless, sometimes, as the Gemara is going to usually mules are sterile, but once in a while you have one that's fertile. The Gemara is going to tell us soon that you can have a case where a female mule goes into heat.
To crossbreed the two mules,
right. So Rabbi Yehuda says it's allowed. We don't have to worry about the fact that each one of them is half horse and half donkey. Hello. So therefore, it comes out that when you have male mating with the female, you have the horse half of the male is mating with also the donkey half of the female. You don't have to worry about that, says Rabbi Yehuda. And the reason would be because if you have one of them is a mule and the other one is a hinny, so one of them was born from a female donkey, the other one was born from a female horse, so the two different types of crossbreeds. Then Rabbi Yehuda is saying that they're also one with the other because we don't know whether choshishin lazera ha'av. If we're choshish lazera ha'av, then you have a problem over here because then you have that. Put it this way: if not choshishin lazera ha'av, then you have, as far as halacha is concerned, the one mule is 100% horse because it was born to a female horse. The other one is 100% donkey because it was born to a female donkey. Then you'd have kilayim. If you were to say choshishim lazera ha'av, then we would say you would be allowed to, as the Gemara is going to develop soon, because then after all, both of them have each one of them is half horse, half donkey. So the same way as in the Reisha, he says it's mutter. When you have two mules, one male, one female, where both of them, the mother is a horse and the father is a donkey. Rabbi Yehuda is saying you're allowed to have them, you're allowed to mate them together. If we were to say choshishim lezera ha'av, then the same thing would apply, even if one of them was from a male horse and female donkey, and the other one the other way around, because each one would be half. Choshishim lezera ha'av means, are we concerned about the father's contribution to the baby? Do we say, in other words, that the baby has in it something of the father? I mean, biologically, of course, it does, but halacha does it. Or do we say that we only look at who its mother was? So if its mother is a horse, then as far as halacha is concerned, it's a horse. And if its mother was a donkey, then as far as halacha is concerned, it's a donkey. Whereas if we were
for
Kalayim, we're talking about, yeah.
If it's mutter to
crossbreed, then right. So that's what Rabbi Hodea is telling us, that in the first case where both of them are the same type of crossbreed, then that's fine. You don't worry about the fact that the one animal, which is half horse, half donkey, is mating with another one, which is half horse, half donkey, and therefore it comes out the horse side of this one is mating with the donkey side of that one, and vice versa. That you don't have to worry about, says Rabbi Hodea. Because effectively what it is not half horse, half donkey. It's each one. It's a new species, basically. So therefore it's mutter. But if you have one of them was born from a female horse and a male donkey, and the other one the other way around, then Rabbi Hodea is saying you have a problem. Then you're not allowed to do that. Because then you have, because we're not sure if choshishin lezara'av. And if ain choshishin lezara'av, then the one is a complete horse and the other one is a complete donkey, and you can't crossbreed them.
One is a complete horse?
Because it was born to a female horse, and the other one is a complete donkey because it was born to a female donkey.
No, you're
not giving us a coin. No, forget coin. We're talking about over here, can you have the two of them pull a wagon together, or can you crossbreed? Can you have them mate together? If they're different species, you're not allowed to.
Because Kalayim.
So
the case where he would not allow is when...
When one of them was born from a female horse and a male donkey, and the other one was born from a female donkey and a male horse.
So one from a female horse and one from a male horse.
They're both born to a female. The female is the one who carries them. One from a female horse and the other one to a female donkey.
A male horse.
Well, yeah, and a female donkey, yeah.
That's why we're questioning.
Fine. Okay, so v'omer Rabbi Yehuda amar Shmuel, zudevi Rabbi Yehuda, d'omer ein choshishin lezara'av. Now, says Rabbi Yehuda in the name of Shmuel, that is all according to Rabbi Yehuda, who says that ein choshishin lezara'av, and therefore in the last case over here, what we have is, as far as halacha is concerned, you have a 100% horse being mated together with a 100% donkey, because we don't care who the father was of them respectively, therefore it would be also. That's according to Rabbi Yehuda.
A male horse
with a female donkey.
A female horse on the other side.
Avo chachamim omrim, but the chachamim say that all kinds of mules are considered the same species. We don't care who the father was versus who the mother was. Doesn't matter. And man chachamim chananyahu. Now, who would the chachamim be that Shmuel is referring to? That would be the opinion of Chananya. Where Chananya is telling us before in connection with Osev Es Benoi that we do take into consideration the father's contribution. The same way as he says by Osev Es Benoi, therefore, that a person would be chayav malchus for shechting the father animal and the baby animal on the same day. The same way he would say over here that it doesn't matter. So it doesn't matter. Either way, this animal, both of these animals have one horse parent and one donkey parent, and therefore, as far as we're concerned, it's all the same thing. V'hai bar susya v'chamora, v'hai bar chamora v'susya, kula chodem minenu. So therefore, it comes out, the one offspring that is the son of a male horse and a female donkey, and the other one is the son of a female donkey and a male horse, kula chodem minenu, they're all one min, and therefore, Shmuel. So therefore, that's where we see that Shmuel is saying that halacha is like Chananya because he calls Chananya chacham, which implies, in other words, he holds the halacha is like him against Rabbi Yehuda. Yeah, actually, by the way, there are a couple of different opinions among Rishonim. The Ramban learns that actually the chachamim before that we were discussing as far as Osev Es Benoi, the Ramban learns that those chachamim are identical with Rabbi Yehuda of the Mishnah we just quoted. You have other Rishonim learn that you actually have three different opinions over here. You have the opinion, you have Chananya who says that definitely choshishin lezara'av. We have Rabbi Yehuda saying definitely not. And we have other Chachamim maybe who are concerned about it, who are not sure one way or the other, and therefore maybe you're chayim about it. Okay. Fine.
So he would say in the case.
So Hananya would say when it comes to the two types, and when it comes to the mule and the hinny, no problem. You can have them pull a wagon together. You can have them crossbreed or whatever, because each one of them has one horse parent and one donkey parent, and therefore it doesn't matter. It's choshish and lazara'av, and therefore the mother and the father of each one have exactly the same contribution to it, and therefore what you have is each one is considered that separate species, neither a horse nor a donkey, but rather something else.
Mule.
And they're a mule, basically. And therefore, right.
even when one has a father horse
and the other one has a
mother horse,
right?
You can still breed.
So Hananya is saying that sort of thing. Yeah.
Well, basically, we
mentioned before that Oitzev Esbenoi applies to Kilayim, but yeah, I mean, we're mentioning it in connection with mules because you usually do work with them, but yeah, the same thing in principle would be also if you did Kilayim of other animals, including kosher ones as well. You'd have to question, is it considered one or the other? As far as Korbanos, I mean, for most purposes, it's a defined thing anyway, whether it would or not. For Korbanos, it's possible. We said before, Kilayim is possible. For Pidyon Petach Hamor, it's also possible because you need Seh, and we learned yesterday that Rav said we have a Binyan Av, that Seh means not Kalayim. So for most purposes, for Kedushas Bechorah also, it's the kosher animal, it also wouldn't have Kedushas Bechorah, it could be mice. So in general, it's pretty well defined what the din of a Kalayim animal is. It is kosher to eat, though, if it's from two kosher species.
And the Chachamim, they say whether it's two horse fathers or two horse mothers or one horse mother and one horse father.
So one second, that's Hananya is saying that. And Shmuel is calling the Hananya Chachamim, implying that he holds the halacha is like him.
Right.
Rabbi Yehuda is saying that no, if they both have horse fathers or they both have horse mothers, then fine. Then you can mate them together or have them pull right. But not when it's one horse mother and one donkey mother. Yeah. Yeah. Or yeah, and a horse father. Yeah. Okay. Fine.
They have to be the same type of mule.
They have to be the same type of mule, according to Rabbi Yehuda. So now we have the question. Is it that Rabbi Yehuda knows for a fact that ain choshish in lezara'av, that even that, so, and therefore, that's why he says it's also if one of them has a horse mother and the other one has a donkey mother, or is it he's not sure, and therefore he's asking it to be on the safe side? So the mind nakamina, what would be the practical outcome of that question? The question, it would be, l'mishra pri im ha'ein. Would you be allowed to mate the baby with the, would you be allowed to mate it with its mother's species? In other words, if you have, for example, a regular mule, which again comes from a male donkey and a female horse, would you be allowed to breed it with a female horse? So l'mishra pri im ha'ein. Would you be able to crossbreed, to mate the baby, the pri, with the aim, with the mother, the actual mother horse herself, or some other female horse, whatever? So that's the question. If you say that Rabbi Yehuda knows for a fact ein choshish in lezara'av, then good, pri im ha'ein shari, then it'll be mutter. Because as far as halacha will be concerned, this baby, even though biologically it's a mule, even though biologically it's half donkey, half horse, halacha would consider it all horse because it was born to a horse mother. Therefore you could mate it with a female horse. But if you say that Rabbi Yehuda actually has a suffix, then prima aim also, then it'll be also, because maybe choshishim lezara'av, and therefore it's not a horse, it would be half horse, half donkey, and therefore you can't crossbreed it with a horse, or maybe not. So therefore it becomes important to know what Rabbi Yehuda, what's the basis of Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Right, so what's going to be the din on that? So Tashma, come, we'll prove from the Mishnah we quoted before. Rabbi Yehuda, I'm a calling a lot of minasus. Rabbi Yehuda had said that any baby animal that's born from a horse mother, afapi shavi and chamor, even though their father is a donkey, mutarin zebazet, where you're allowed to mate one with the other. Now, hey chidomi, we have to ask, what is the scenario that Rabbi Yehuda is talking about? Are you talking about you have two animals, a male and a female mule, where both of them, their father... where both of them had a donkey father and a horse mother, the father of this one is a donkey, and the father of that one is a donkey, well then of course, it's Richel Meimer. Why would it be necessary to say? Obviously you could have them pull a wagon together. There's no reason to think they'd be different minim.
If
the Pashtus, the pastures, if they both come from a male, if they both come from a male donkey and a female horse, then of course they're the same men. There's no chiddush in that.
Because
then they, of course, they're, whether you say chosh and lazer av, or whether you don't say chosh and lazer av, if you say chosh and lazer av, it means this one is half donkey and half is half donkey and half horse. The other one is also, so you're good. And if you say ein chosh and lazer av, this one is all horse, this one is all horse, so you're right, you're good. So why would Rabbi Yehuda even need to tell us? Evidently, we have to be saying that Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah means when he says he means that one of these two animals that you're dealing with is its father was a horse and its mother was also a horse, so it's a full-blooded horse. Then you have another one that comes from a male donkey and a female horse. And v'katoni mutarim zeim zeh. And Rabbi Yehuda is telling us you're allowed to have them pull a wagon together. Alma mipshit kitale, which shows therefore that Rabbi Yehuda is saying definitely ain't choshesh in lazer av. So in other words, therefore, the one that's a full-blooded horse, obviously it's a full-blooded horse. There's nothing to talk about.
The male horse
and female horse, yeah. And the one that comes from a male donkey and a female horse. Okay, ain't choshesh in lazer av. Ignore the father. As far as halacha is concerned, it's 100% horse. So good, you have a horse and a horse. What's the problem? So obviously, therefore, if we understand the Mishnah that way, it means that Rabbi Yehuda is saying definitely ein chosh shen lazer av. It's not a matter of a suffix. Because if it was a suffix, then we couldn't be sure. The answer is lo. No, not necessarily is that the correct understanding of Rabbi Yehuda. La'olam da'avur da'hai chamer va'avur da'hai chamer. Actually, we could be talking about where you have that the two animals that you want to mate together, both of them come from a male donkey and a female horse. And the question is whether you're allowed to have them pull a wagon together, and Rabbi Yehuda is telling you you can. So you're asking, what's the chiddush in that? Of course you should be allowed to. What's even the havam in it? They're both mules. Yeah, they both have a male horse, and they both come from a male donkey and a female horse. The point is, it is a chiddush because ma'u detema. Otherwise, if you didn't have Rabbi Yehuda telling you that it's allowed, you would have thought like this. Osi, as we said before, osi tzad desus mitshamish betzad chamer, betzad chamer mitshamish betzad sus. You might have thought that the baby, the mule, is considered not a separate species. It's considered as though, like, you assembled a jigsaw puzzle of half horse, half donkey. And therefore, as we said before, what the result is when you mate the male with the female, or when you have two of them pulling a wagon together, whatever the point is, the horse side of this one is mating with the horse side of this one, but also with the donkey side of that one. And that's no good. You can't have a horse and a donkey together, and vice versa. So without Rabbi Yehuda telling us that, you would think it's a problem. Kamash Malon, and that is why Rabbi Yehuda has to tell us, even in that case, that it's mutter. Because it's not like a jigsaw puzzle. It's rather, you have, as we had an expression in the previous parak, that the Zera Av and Zera Ema Omu Vulbul, they're all mixed up together. They come from the entire body. Yeah, so it's not like you have this part is particularly from the mother, this part is particularly from the father. No, it's all blended together. So it's like a separate species. So that's the chiddush, but not necessarily as Rabbi Yehuda addressing the point when you have a pure-blooded horse together with a mule whose father was a donkey, not necessarily would Rabbi Yehuda be saying that such a thing is allowed. Because maybe choshesh lazer av, but maybe not. If ein choshesh lazer av definitively, then fine. The mule is also 100% horse. If not, then it's half horse. Then it's a different min, which is part horse, part donkey, or whatever, blended together, horse and donkey. But whatever, you still can't make that with something that's a complete horse. So therefore, so if we understand the Mishnah that way, then we can't necessarily prove whether Rabbi Yehuda is saying definitely ein choshesh lazer av, or whether he's saying there's a suffix.
So
we don't know yet.
Understanding. A pure horse with a donkey would be the...
A pure horse with a pure donkey is definitely also awesome. Everybody knows that. Yeah.
No, a pure horse with a mixed donkey.
With a mule. So that's the thing. If we understand Rabbi Yehuda that way, then yes, that might in fact be also. The only thing that's mutter is two mules where both those mules, the father was a donkey and the mother was a horse, so vice versa. Vice versa, meaning it could also be a male horse and a female donkey. A hinny, it's called in English.
Hinny?
Yeah.
How do you write that?
H-I-N-N-Y. Yeah. You can look it up. I mean, in general, they usually breed them the first way, a male donkey and a female horse, because they come out much stronger that way. Yeah, as opposed to you made a male horse and a female, you made a male horse and a female donkey, the hinny is not a particularly strong animal. So it's less common to do that. Anyway, the point is that, so we don't know for sure what Rabbi Huda means yet. We're not sure how to explain the first case of the Mishnah over there, whether Rabbi Huda's chiddush is that even you have two mules of the same type, that you need to be told you're allowed to have them pull a wagon together, because otherwise you would think it's like a jigsaw puzzle, and instead you're being told it's a blend. Or is it that Rabbi Huda is telling you, in that case, there's no chiddush. The chiddush is, even you have a mule with a purebred horse, that you should be allowed to. Maybe that's so. So we can't be sure what Rabbi Huda is saying. So we still don't know what Rabbi Huda holds. Toshma, so come, we'll try to prove from another case. We learn in a braisa. Rabbi Huda Omer, pirda shetava, if a female mule goes into heat. Tava literally means like it's demanding. It's demanding a male, it's in heat. So, yeah. So again, usually it's true. Usually mules are sterile, and usually they don't go into heat. But you always have exceptions. Yeah. So in this case, ein mavdin alei loisus lechamer elamina. So Rabbi Huda says you cannot breed it with a horse, a purebred horse. You cannot breed it with a donkey, elamina. All you can breed it with is another mule like it. Now the Amit Mifshet mina means its own kind. Its own kind. Well, that's what we have to figure. That's what we have to figure out. Now, if you're going to tell me Rabbi Yehuda knows for a fact that we ignore the father, then as far as halacha would be concerned, this animal is a horse. So good, go ahead and breed it with a horse. What's the problem? And the answer is not necessarily is that a proof, because the case that the Rabbi Yehuda is talking about in the Braisa might be Deloyadin and Mina Ni'ima Mainihu. It so happens this particular animal, we don't know whether the horse was its father or the mother. No, forget about one that Gemara is going to mention that in a second. Yeah, Gemara is going to mention that in a second. They look a little different. They look a little different. But wait.
But that's not a
Wait, one second. We'll get to that. So. Maybe Rabbi Huda is saying, when you have this animal, which you're not sure whether its mother was a horse or its father was a horse, then the only thing you can do is breed it with its own kind. Maybe Rabbi Huda would be implying that if we knew, then you could breed it with the kind that its mother came from, because in Choshen was Arab. Okay, the question is, the Braita says, Rabbi Huda is saying, you can only breed it with its own kind. So
what's the kind?
Well, the question is, if you don't know whether it came from a male or a female, if you don't know whether it came from a female horse or a female donkey, then you can't crossbreed it with either one. We just said before that Rabbi Huda says that you can't mix a mule and a hinny. The answer is like what the braisa may mean is ein mavien alei loy min sus loy min chamer lefi she'en yodin mimina. Right. What the braisa may mean is you can't crossbreed it with anything. Why? Because you don't know. You can't breed it with something. Right. Well, in other words, but still, we wouldn't know. Does that mean you could breed it? So in other words, one second. So it means you can't breed it with something that's considered a horse, lahalacha. So not a full-blooded horse. And not one that was born to a female horse, because as far as halacha is concerned, if we say in chosh and mazarab, both of those are considered horses. Not with a female donkey or a baby born from a male horse and a female donkey, a hinny. Same problem, because then as far as halacha is concerned, it would be considered a donkey, and this one might be considered lahalacha a horse. So therefore, when the braisa says elamina, it doesn't mean you're allowed to crossbreed it with the same kind. It means practically speaking, you can't do anything. Because you don't know what its mean is. So maybe that's what the braisa means, and in that case, it doesn't necessarily show. Maybe indeed, Rabbi Huda is certain that in Choshen was Arab, or maybe he's not certain. That's what we're trying to deal with over here.
We don't know if it's a hinny or a mule.
So now comes the question.
In the case,
we don't know. Then that's what we're saying. The braisa may be saying that you can't crossbreed at all. So the question is, Belibdek Simonin. Why don't we check using the known simonim of the difference between a mule and a hinny? There are simonim. De Amar Abaye, because Abaye tells us, Avi Kole, if the animal has a heavy voice, a thick voice, then it makes a louder sound. Bar Chamra, then it means that it's a hinny. It means that it came from a male horse and a female donkey.
Bar Hamra means that it's the son of a female donkey. On the other hand, Sonif Kole, on the other hand, if the voice sounds clearer, if the sound it makes when it neighs is a clearer sound, Bar Susia, then you know it comes from a female horse and a male donkey. But so that's the point. So in other words, a horse's sound sounds different than a junkie, right? Yeah. And also the Omer of Papa, further a Papa says, here's another distinction. Rav Ravon Udne Vzutra Gnuvde, if it has long ears and a short tail, Bar Chamra, then you know it's the son of a male horse and a female donkey. Zutra Udne Vrabo Gnuvde, but if it has small ears and a long tail, Bar Susia, then you know it's the other way around, then you know it comes from a male donkey and a female horse. I see over here, by the way, I see in a description of them that a hinny has shorter ears. So that seems a little bit off. That sounds a little bit opposite of that is what we're saying over here. Shorter ears. Zutra and Udne would be Bar Susia. So that's actually the opposite. Bar Susia would mean a mule. Bar Chamra would be a hinny. So it's the opposite nowadays. So either the Girsa has gotten switched around in the Gemara over here, or maybe it's different. Maybe the breeds of horses and the breeds of donkeys they have nowadays. Yeah, it could be. Anyway, whatever. The point is that you have simanim. So what do you mean you don't know the mystery animal? Is it a mule or a hinny? Look at the simanim. The answer is hachamayaskin, the ilemus, the gedemus. Okay, still the price you could be talking about where it's a mute animal and it's a mute and lame animal. So therefore, you can't say, not lame. It has
both simonim.
Well,
the ears and the voice.
No, the point is, in other words, you don't have any of these simonim, let's say. So you have, let's say, one. If you only have one, then maybe it's a question. But the point is, let's say you have an animal which is mute and its ears and its tail have been chopped off. So now you have no way of telling. Okay.
So maybe with one simon
it would be good enough. Okay. So my havi Allah. Okay. So what's the bottom line? What is the halacha on this topic? Tashma, the Amr of Huna Breder Bishua, Hakol Moedim Bepri Ima Eim Sha'aser. Everybody agrees that you cannot mate a mule with its mother's species. So you can't mate a mule with a female purebred horse. A mule which comes from a female horse and a male donkey, you can't breed it with a full-blooded horse. So therefore, shmamina sapoki misafkulei.
You can breed it with a mule.
You can breed it with a mule of the same type. But not with a hinny, right? So shmamina sapoki misafkulei. So that goes to show, therefore, that Rabbi Yehuda has a suffix. Because if you knew vaday ein choshen lozera ha'av, then you would be able to, because we would ignore the father's contribution. We would say la halacha, this mule is considered a horse, and then it wouldn't matter. The fact that Rabbi Yehuda Breda Vishua is telling us hakol moedim means that Rabbi Yehuda does have a suffix after all. Shmamina, so that proves it. Which, by the way, when we said at the top of the Omer that Shmuel says the halacha is like Hananiah, it comes out, therefore, not necessarily as the halacha like Hananiah. In the end, we're saying over here, the halacha, in the end, this whole discussion resulted in that Rabbi Yehuda has a suffix. And because there's a suffix, so therefore, in some cases, we have to be machmir, and then we have to be machmir in each case as it comes. So when it comes to the mule, then like we said, you can't crossbreed it with a horse or with a donkey, only with another mule like it.
It should be a DNA.
DNA doesn't matter. So choshen lozera ab doesn't mean that we don't know that this animal didn't come from a male donkey and a female horse. Ein choshen lozera ab means that halacha doesn't care about that. So it has nothing to do with DNA. But when it comes to oisiv es benoi, which was our original topic over here, so the halacha is, so in principle it only applies to the mother, as we were saying before. However, a number of the Rishonim bring that we should be choshish for Hananiah's chita, and therefore also if we know that a particular animal is the father of this other one, then don't shech them on the same day. Most of the Rishonim hold that since it's only a sophic, you wouldn't be chayiv malchus for it. The Rambam actually holds you would be chayiv malchus. Actually, no, the Rambam talks about chayiv malchus in a different context. Never mind. But it would be also misophic if you know that this particular one is the father. Okay. Fine.
So it would be, what, you know that, Karis?
So you know, that's not a matter of Karis anyway, it's a question of Malchus.
Malchus.
So you don't do Malchus for a Sophic yet. Omelet of Abba Lashame, so Rav Abba, which we, in this connection, Rav Abba tells his servant, if you harness mules to the wagon that I ride around in, make sure you find ones that are similar one to the other, meaning that they both have, again, the same size ears and the same size tail, and they're on the same type of voice, I guess, the eyelid, and then put those over there to pull the wagon because otherwise you have a problem up to lying. Amakasavar, which means therefore we see from that two things. Number one, We see that Rav Abba holds Ein Choshen L'Zera'av. We see therefore he holds that Ein Choshen L'Zera'av, and therefore, if we said Choshen L'Zera'av, then it wouldn't matter whether the two mules look different or not. Either way, if each one is half horse, half donkey, the fact that he's saying they have to be both of the same type implies Ein Choshen L'Zera'av. So therefore, we have to have two that lahalacha would be considered the same species, and that would only be if they have the same. That would only be if they have the same mother. That they both have a horse mother or donkey mother, as the case may be.
In other words, the mother determines the species.
The mother determines the species. That's what Ein Choshen L'Zera'av means.
Right.
Good. That's a good way of summarizing it, which I didn't think of putting it in those terms. But yeah. Okay. That's the Tosfos gets into a long discussion over here that indeed the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, and again, what are all the pros and cons of what that results in la halacha here and in other areas. Okay. And also we see from that Rav Abba holds the simonim de oraisa. We also see from this little story that Rav Abba holds that simonim are something that you can use validly on a de oraisa level. Because over here we have simonim, we have three simonim, how to tell a mule from a hinny, ears, voice, and tail, and we're saying that those are valid on a d'oraisa level, that you can use those to say this one is definitively a mule and this one is definitively not. Now, what's the relevance of saying simonim d'oraisa? Rashi says it means not only in our case over here, it also means, now the Gemara has a discussion in Bava Metzia and Eilam Metzias on the question. When we learn from when we're kids that when you find a lost object, if somebody gives a simon for it, you have to return it to them. The question is, the Gemara discusses in Eilam Metzias, is that concept d'oraisa or only d'rabbanan? Maybe d'oraisa you need either what's called a simon muvhak, an extremely unique simon, or you need edim or some other evidence or whatever. And another it comes up in other places. Also, it comes up at the end of Yevamos. I think it comes up in Gittin. Anyway, so maybe we could argue that d'oraisa you need something stronger. D'rabbanan, the chachamim have a right to make takonis in dinim momenus, and therefore they could hefker based in hefker, and therefore they could say that you return it based on even only a middleweight simon. If you were going to say that, then it wouldn't work over here to say on a d'oraisa level for the issur of kilayim, which is d'oraisa, that it should work to follow the simonim. If Rav Abba is following those simonim, evidently he holds that across the board simonim are d'oraisa. Because that's what we see. Because otherwise, you can't rely on them over here to say that this that
maybe
that
it's just in this case.
No, but what do you mean just in this case? This is a d'oraisa case. Eilam Metzias is d'rabbanan. So therefore, we see that Rav Abba holds that they're valid even on d'oraisa level. Okay, you have a number of Rishonim argue with Rashi on that. They say there's not necessarily a proof from that. No, we're talking over here, strictly over here, that these simonim that we mentioned, as far as the ears, the tail, and the voice, are valid on a d'oraisa level as far as kilayim is concerned. In other words, the question of whether they're valid on a d'oraisa level as far as Metzias is a whole different issue. Not necessarily like Rashi is saying that they're tied together. Other Rishonim learn that no, the Gemara is not taking a position on that. The Gemara is just talking over here about simonim that we have over here as far as the mules, for example, towards the end of Perek Eilat Shreifos when we talk about the simonim of eggs and things like that. Okay, fine. So far what we have is Hananya holds Choshish and Lazarahav. Rav Yehuda is not sure. And because we're not sure, then therefore that results in where we need to be, right? Okay. Fine.
So the halacha is not necessarily like Rabbi.
So the halacha is not necessarily like Hananya, but we're Choshish for it. So Shmuel has said the halacha like Hananya, but we're choshish for it. So therefore, yeah, Sinan Chet Zayin in Yerodea is about the halachas of Osev Estinoi. What it says is that Yeah, it's a voice that's been a noibin a kadesh, shazebin a vade, the in noida vade, shazehu oviv. If you know for a fact that this particular male animal is the father of another one, ain't shift and shnaim v'yemecha, then you shouldn't. The im shachat, ain't loike, but if you do, then you don't get malchus, shabdav a sofik, imun noig was chorima, ain't noig. It's a sofik, whether the halacha is like hanani, basically. Okay. Yeah. This is the mechavis. Okay. Turn it up on him, we learn in a braisa. Oisaves b'noi noig b'kilayim or b'koi, or b'kvi. We'll explain in a second. Oisaves b'noi applies to kilayim. We said that before. So if you crossbreed together a sheep and a goat, then oisaves b'noi applies to it. Or b'koi or b'kvi. A koi or kvi, we're going to discuss, the Gemara is going to start discussing now what it is, and the discussion is going to go into that case. By the way, you have it's the same thing. You have the many people pronounce it koi, but in Lomdish circles they claim that the proper pronunciation is kvi. Whatever, there's a kaf vav yod. That's how it's spelled in the Gemara. So what kind of creature is it? The Gemara is going to discuss soon what it is. Anyway, so oisiv es b'noi applies to Rabbi Yehuda Omer kilayim habomina ezim in a rochel. When you have Rabbi Eliezer says, I agree as far as the kilayim, that if you have kilayim between a male goat and a female sheep, then yes, oseves b'noi noyeg boi, then oseves b'noi will apply. You can't shech the female sheep and the baby on the same day. But koi ain't oseves b'noi noyeg boi, but when it comes to a koi, then no, then oseves b'noi does not apply to it, says Rabbi Eliezer, for reasons that we're going to discuss later. That's what we're going to discuss, whether it's a mix. We're going to start discussing whether it's a mix or whether it's a berry of knas, or whether it's a separate species. What exactly is this koi that Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim are arguing about, where the Chachamim say oseves b'noi applies to it, and Rabbi Eliezer says that not? This is an animal that is a crossbreed between a male goat and a female deer or gazelle. We talk about in Parak A of the Tresis where the tzvi, Rashi had said over there that tzvi does not mean that tzvi doesn't mean a deer. Rashi had argued over there that some other kind of creature like a mountain goat or something. So we discussed over there briefly the different possibilities whether it is. Tosfos says it is a deer after all, but you have other different sichas cholin and other later sources mention that maybe it's a gazelle or an ibex or some creature like that, whatever. So the point is, in other words, to hear a koi is you have a male goat, a male domesticated goat, mates with a female tsivya. So I'm saying what a tsivya is, you have a few different understandings what exactly a tsivya is.
I mean, a deer is much higher and much
bigger. Okay, but that nevertheless,
than a goat.
Okay, you know what? Fine, but the size doesn't necessarily matter. You could artificially mate them. You know what? You have, for example, nowadays, you have all different size breeds of dogs, but you still sometimes have
large. No,
well, that's what we're talking about. If you mate them, then you have a baby from it. And the question is, does oseves b'noi apply? So the question is, heichidami. So the question is, what is the scenario? What are we saying that there's a case where the Chachamim and Rabbi Eliezer disagree regarding this koi? Are we talking about then a male goat mates with a female tzivya? Let's say deer to keep it simple, although we know we're... No, yes, to be typically we translate as deer. Again, Rashi says it may be in something else, but whatever. Let's call it a deer to keep things simple. So if you're talking about a male goat mates with a female deer, the yolda, and then the female deer gives birth, so kashachet lav livra, and now you want to come and shech the mother deer together with this baby, and you're saying that's the machlokes, the livra, and its son, and its child, and her child. The problem with that is, with understanding that that's the scenario, is everybody would agree, says Rabbi Chista, that if the mother is a deer and the baby is a goat or half goat, whatever, that is potter, because se ubnoi omrachmana veloi tzvi ubnoi. Because the pasuk mentions v'shur oise, and shur and se are domesticated animals, meaning in other words, it has to be a se, a sheep or a goat. Veloi tzvi ubnoi, not a deer and its child. So that can't be the scenario. No, so it has to be the other way around. The case would be you have a male deer mates with a female goat. the yolda. Now this female goat gives birth to an animal which is half goat, half deer.
A taisha
is a female goat.
Female goat.
Yeah. The kashachet lo v'levra. And then you know, the case is, you're talking about that then you're shechting the female goat and the baby, and you're asking whether the oyster best or not. The problem with that is, how would there be a machloikas? Well, Amar of Chista HaKol Moedim Behit Yashov Nasri Shechayim. Everybody would agree that in that case, if it's a female goat and a male deer, that you would be chayev for oyster best or not, with the mother and the child. Because, Seh Amar Achmana, Ubnoi, because when the Pasuk says Seh, and then it's Shorei Seh, oyster best or not, meaning kol dehu. As long as the ubnoi seh omer achmana, the pasuk does say seh, seh means, in other words, it has to be a complete sheep or goat. Fine, the mother is a complete goat. Ubnoi kol dehu, and when it says bnoi, whatever it is, whether it's pure goat or whether it's half goat, half deer, either way, it's still her baby, and therefore you're chayev. So what's the scenario where we have, assuming that a koi is, as we said, and Rav Chista had said, that a koi is, that it's a mixed breed of a goat and a deer. So what is the scenario? If the male parent is a goat and the female is a deer, then definitely there's no oyster vesunai, because the mother has to be a seh. And if it's the other way around, if the female parent is a goat, then for sure there's oyster vesunai, because you have seh.
So where's the
machlokas? Exactly. The answer is, la'olam b'tayi shabal atzibya, v'yol the bas. Okay, but we have to be talking about there are actually three generations over here. You have like this. A male goat mates with a female deer, the yolda bas. Then that female deer gives birth to a daughter, to a female baby, which is now half goat, half deer. Ubas yolda bain. Now that female eventually grows up and gives birth to a baby son. For this purpose, as far as the third generation, doesn't really matter whether it's a male or a female. The point is, the second generation had to be a female, as we're going to say. So therefore, because shachet lo v'levra. So now what you're doing is you're talking about shechting the second and third generation. Well, that's what we have to figure out. So rabbanon savri choshen lazera ha'av. So like this, the rabbanon hold, following on the discussion from before, choshen lazera ha'av, that we do have to take into consideration the father's contribution. And then what do we have over here? We have what were the first generation parents? A male goat and a female deer. So if choshen lazera ha'av, then it means that the second generation is half goat. And therefore, the seh, v'afilu miksa seh. So they will say that when it says in the pasuk seh, doesn't mean it has to be a purebred seh. Even if it's half seh, that's enough.
It's not a seh, half seh, we said.
No, we said as far as kilayim and as far as a number of other dinim, we said that it's not. But over here we're saying, yeah, that maybe the sure oy seh means that as long as there's some seh in it, then it's enough.
You're talking about the mixed breed, the koi child, or
we're talking about the first generation koi. So we're talking about the second generation of this whole family tree that we're doing over here. You had a male goat and a female deer. Those are the first generation. The second generation is the koi, and we're talking about now this female koi. Is it considered a seh or not? So the Chachamim will hold that the word seh means v'afilu miksa seh. So again, that would only be a choshen l'zara'ab. If ain choshen l'zara'ab, if the mother's species determines the baby's species, then there's nothing to talk about. This baby, even though biologically it's half goat, halacha would consider it all deer. Then of course there's no way to that's familiar with it. But if we say choshen l'zara'ab, then which means both parents contribute to it to determine a species, well then here it's half goat. And seh could mean even after the mitzvah seh. Rabbi Eliezer Sava, ain choshen l'zara'ab, Rabbi Eliezer would say ain choshen l'zara'ab. Therefore we can't say that seh could possibly mean only part seh, because there's no such thing. The seh after the mitzvah seh lo yamrin. We wouldn't say that seh means even if it's part seh, because according to Rabbi Eliezer, there's no such thing. Since ein choshen zera'ab, either it is a seh or it isn't a seh. There's no in between.
Both parents.
No. The point is, Rabbi Eliezer would say if the mother was a seh, then it's a seh, and if the father was an seh, and if the father was and if the mother was not a seh, then it's not a seh. There's no in between. Whereas the Chachamim, who would hold choshen zera'ab, what Hananiah did before, they would say there's such a thing as mikseh seh, and they would say that's included in the pasuk v'sharei seh. Okay. So that's the machlokas. Therefore, about this koi, whether you chayev for oyster vesbenoi or not. Okay. So now the question becomes: why do we have to explain that the machlokas is talking about davka in that case? the Lichlug B'choshen L'zera Av talk to the Hanani V'Rabbanon, why don't Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim just argue more straightforwardly instead of talking about the specific case of a Koi, and then we have to go and figure out that we're talking about three generations over here, let him just say straight out that we're arguing about Choshen L'zera Av, that Rabbi Eliezer says that Rabbi Eliezer says no and the Chachamim say yes.
Can we do that?
Why not? They could have said that you could have easily had a braisa. Rabbi Eliezer omer choshen lezara'av, in choshen lezara'av, v'chamam choshen lezara'av. Why didn't put it that way? The answer is, e pligi bahi. Yeah, but if they only had a machlokas regarding that point, about choshen lezara'av or not. In other words, Rashi says rather, what it is the machlokas should have just been, forget about the koi for a second. Before we had, when we presented the machlokas of Hananiah and the Chachamim, what did we say? What was the relevance of Choshen L'Zera'av or not? Does Oseh V'Espinoi apply to the male parent and the baby? Hananiah said yes, the Chachamim said no. Why doesn't Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim tell their argument that way? Let Rabbi Eliezer say, because Ein Choshen L'Zera'av, therefore it only applies to the female parent. And let the Chachamim say, because Choshen L'Zera'av, that applies to the male parent as well. Why didn't they say the machlokas that way instead of mentioning this convoluted case of a koi? The answer is e pligi bahi. Yeah, but if they were arguing only in that case, have amina without a koi, but in the regular case of the father and or of the father and the baby, have amina, then you would think baha afilu rabbanon moidu desev afilu mitzaselay aminan. Then you would think the chachamim also agree that we don't say the word se means afilu mitzaseh. That you would say, you would say, in other words, that fine. There's no choshin. We would say, in other words, yeah, the father is a full seh, the mother is not, or vice versa, or whatever. No, forget about that. In the regular case, where both the mother and the father are a seh, we're talking about a male sheep and a female sheep, we wouldn't know from that the chum hold of this concept after the mixed seh. We wouldn't know what the chum hold in the case of a mixed breed like a koi.
Right.
Therefore, Kamash Malon, that is why the machloikas had to be presented regarding a koi to make it clear that they are arguing about choshen l'zera'av, which means they would also have the same machloikas as Hananiah and the Chachamim have about the regular case of a father animal and the child. But we presented the machloikas this way to show that not only do they argue in that case, but they also argue in the case even when the mother herself is only half set. Which is what
that
is the question.
We could not have known.
That we wouldn't have known otherwise, right? Okay. Fine. Now, what about the Hodgson? Now, what about this that we learn in a Mishnah? Koi ein shochtinos beyomtiv. A koi, you have actually there's Bikurim, in Masechta Bikurim, you have a number of Mishnayos. Because it mentioned it starts by mentioning over there. What does it mention over there? I think whatever. You have a bunch of Mishnayos and Bikurim that mention cases where you have something which is you have something which is sort of in between. In some things it's like one, in something it's like another, in some things like both, and in some things like neither. So the Mishnah says over there, a koi is like that. A koi is in some ways like a chaya, in some ways like a behema, in some ways like both, and in some ways like neither. So yeah, there's a number of Mishnayos. There's a number of Mishnayos that go like that in Bikurim. You also have, by the way, in the standard editions of Bikurim actually have a fourth paraf appended, which is not part of the original Mishnayos. It actually comes from Tosefta, which does the same thing as far as an androgynous. That there's an androgynous in some ways is like a man, in some ways like a woman, in some ways like both, and in some ways like neither. Like both and like neither. In other words, there are certain dinim where they have the dinim. Yeah, as far as certain dinim, yeah. We're talking all as far as dinim, yeah. The Rambam stress is in Hilchos Nezirus that we don't mean biologically you have to figure out is it one or the other. We mean lahalacha. The context of it in Bikurim is that the Mishnah starts by mentioning over there the similarities and the differences between Truma and Ma'is Hasheni and Bikurim. And then it starts mentioning other cases where you have a certain thing is like some things in one way and something like something else in another way. So therefore, yeah. Anyway, the point is, the Mishnah says, koi ein shechtinos b'yomtiv. You're not allowed to shecht a koi on yomtiv because shechting it on yomtiv, because since it's a sofik chaya, you would have to cover the blood, as we're going to learn in the next parak about the dinim of kisui adam. But you can't. No, it's oichol nefesh, definitely, because you're allowed to eat it. It's a kosher animal. The only question is, all you, the only question is, kifli adam. You can't, if you shecht it on Yom Tov, you're going to have to do kifli adam because of the suffix. But on the other hand, you can't do it on Yom Tov because you can't be, you can't be digging into the dirt on Yom Tov for a suffix. Even if you have loose dirt, we're gonna get to that soon. But okay, the im shochte ein mechatzin es domei, and the Mishnah continues. If you did shech the koi, then you don't cover the blood on Yom Tov. And by the way, what it is yeah. Well, so usually if you shech the chaya on Yom Tov, so yeah, it's true. You wouldn't, you're not allowed to dig into dirt. But if you have loose dirt or ashes or whatever, then you're allowed to. But here, that's on Yom Tov. We're talking on Yom Tov. But when here with a koi, you don't. The Gemara explains. The Gemara explains later on that the reason why you don't cover the blood, even if you have loose dirt available, is because then people are going to think, hey, you're allowed to cover the blood. You have to cover the blood of an Yom Tov. That means people are going to mistakenly think that it's 100% chaya. They're going to think you're allowed to eat a tchelet, and you're not because it's a sofik behem. This that it says over there, that a koi, you're not allowed to shecht on Yom Tov, and if you do shecht it, you don't do kifli adam. So again, we have to figure out, what kind of koi are we talking about? The Maya skin. Ilema b'tayish habala sidra b'yolda. Are we talking about a male goat mated with a female deer, and it gave birth? Again, bein l'rabbanon, bein l'rabbeliezer, l'shrit v'lichti. Then, so now it's the opposite kind of thing. Before we were talking about, as far as oisav esenoi, which applies only to domestic animals. Kifli adam applies only to wild animals. If the mother is a deer, which is a wild animal, then even kifli adam applies only to wild animals and birds. It does not apply to domestic animals. We're going to learn that in the next day.
Doing it with domestic animals.
Chickens are birds, regardless. Any kind of bird, and then as far as four-legged animals, only the wild ones. Only deer, and then buffalo, and then gazelle, and whatever.
So birds overrule the domestic issue.
Yeah. Okay. So. So again, if the female parent over here is a female deer, then of course lishchik v'lichti, then you should do kifli adam because tzvi v'asu mitzvah tzvi, because the din applies to a tzvi, to a wild animal, and even if it's only part wild animal. So according to the chachamim, we would say that the koi therefore is half wild animal, so that's reason enough to do kifli adam. Rabbi Eliezer would say ein choshin lezera av, therefore it's considered 100% deer. Again, you have to cover the blood. Ela b'tzvi habal akiyosha v'yolda. So therefore, now okay, so maybe we're talking. So maybe we're talking about a male deer and a female goat, and a gave birth. Well then, the question is, again, why are we saying as a blanket statement that everybody agrees that you don't do kifli adam on Yom Tov? According to the Rabbanon, you should be allowed to shecht it and cover the blood, because as far as the Rabbanon are concerned, it's mikzat tzvi, it's partially deer, and therefore it's chayiv and kifli adam. Because so therefore it's part deer.
And
either of the other, the shchit v'le lichti. And according to the
mikzat applies to not only to say, according to the Rabbanan.
Yeah, it applies over here. When it says say chaya, it means even mikzat chaya. And according to Rabbi Eliezer, you should be allowed to shecht it, and you don't have to cover the blood, because as far as Rabbi Eliezer is concerned, since its female parent was a goat, then it's 100% goat, and there's no kifli adam for goats. And choshim zera'ah. So why is the Mishnah saying that you can't shecht it, and if you do, you don't, and if you did shecht it, you don't do kifli adam? That doesn't seem to be like either opinion. According to the Chachamim, you should be doing kifli adam. According to Rabbi Eliezer, you don't have to be. There's no kifli adam to be done at all. So what's the suffix? The answer is la'olam b'tzvi abal apiyasha. We are talking about, after all, a male deer and a female goat that produced this koi.
You just saw that.
One second. The rabbanon, but the thing is, it's not that the rabbanon know for a fact that choshishim zera'ah. Like we said before, on Amud Aleph, according to Rabbi Yehuda, sapuki misatka lahu ichoshishim zera'ah ien choshishim. They have a suffix whether choshishim zera'ah or not. If choshishim zera'ah, then this thing is part tzvi. So then you have to cover the blood. If you don't say choshen lezera'ah, then it's all goat, and you don't have to. Because of the suffix, then therefore, because of the suffix, then you shouldn't be shechted on Yom Tov in order not to get into the issue of kifli adam.
Is that the halacha?
Yeah, but wait. Okay, so the question is, so therefore, what it means is, so if the chachamim have a suffix, then it must mean that when we say that Rabbi Eliezer holds Ein Choshen L'Zera'av, it means Rabbi Eliezer knows as a fact that Ein Choshen L'Zera'av. Otherwise, if he has a suffix also, then there's no then there's no machlokes between them. So in other words, so this that we said, koi and shoshdinos b'yamtav bim shoshdin machasin as domo, that would only be according to the chachamim. According to Rabbi Yehazir in this case, where it was a male deer and a female goat, then he would say definitely ain choshin lazerahav, it's definitely 100% goat. Therefore, no kisi adam. Therefore, you can go ahead and shecht it on yamtav. Okay, so there's another case as far as the dinim of Zroyal Chayayim Bekeva, where we have to take up this issue again and see what Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim will hold. I just wanted to mention in this connection that this whole business, therefore, about this mixed breed over here, Tzvi Shabala, Ez V'Yolda, so a male deer and a female goat. So b'shachat ha'ezavna, if you shech the goat and its child, loite, then you get malchus, because then it's definitely, because then, in chushan l'zera'a, right, avol ha'ez shabal ha'sivya, but, if it's the other way around, a male goat, a female deer, also l'shachat ha'ezavna, so you're also on the grounds of the suffix, v'im shachat ha'ezavna loite, if you do, you don't get malchus, because it's only because of a suffix. Now, with that said, that is only according to the Rambam. Actually, the Rambam actually says that in the fact that the Rambam says in the first case that you get Malkus brings up a bit of a question also, because if Suffolk were the Choshim Zerahav or not, then why should you get Malkus? But anyway, the point is, in the second case, this that was saying that Chila, you're not allowed to shecht it, but if you do, you don't get Malkus, the Rashba disagrees with that. The Rashba and the Tur disagree with that, because it's like this. So the Taz explains that since Rav Chisda is saying a kol modim that if he's tivyo of notayish, then your potter, the word potter implies avol author. So therefore they take that. But the Rashba says not necessarily. We're using the word potter because in all the other cases we've been using the word chayav. So the Taz holds that actually. So the Taz actually learns that not like the Shulchan Aruch, not like the Mechaber, you would be allowed. He learns like the Rashba. You would be allowed to shech the. You would be allowed if you had a male goat and a female deer. You would be allowed to shech the female deer together with the baby lachachila. Because it's a female deer. No, so that's the point. In other words, he says that's not a matter of a suffix. When you have the female parent, the deer, then the Rashba learns that just because Rav Chisda used the expression potter, doesn't mean potter, but still also to do, means completely mutter. On the other hand, the Shach defends what the Mechaber is saying, what the Rambam is saying against what the Rashba is saying, and he says, no, as a matter of fact, you, l'chatchila, Yitaka shouldn't be shechting it.
So when the Shach and the Taz argue,
so I don't know. It seems it was actually a
mis.
Well, it depends. Actually, I'm given to understand that in the old country, I think in general the Yekis, the German Jews, I think used to follow the Taz more, and then the Polish Jews used to follow the Shach more. How it developed in later generations, I don't know. But for a while there, that was the general trend.
Who do we follow?
I don't know. If it ever happens that you have a female deer that, in general, between the Taz and the Shach, I'm not sure. Sometimes the later poskim will end up agreeing with one or the other. In the parts, for example, where we have the Alter Rebbe's Shulchan Aruch, let me see what the Alter Rebbe decided. You know, but we're not. I don't know. I'm not sure what we do in such cases. When it comes to dinim ominous, definitely you have the whole issue that I've mentioned before, kimli, that if one person is claiming that you owe me money on the grounds of what the Taz says, you have the ability to say, kimli, I hold like a shach, and therefore I don't owe you that money. Yeah.
That's provided they tell you we're going to decide between the shach and the Taz.
Well, yeah, I mean, you'd have to be, obviously. Well, it is actually a somewhat common thing nowadays when people go to a din Torah, they often have with them what they call, especially in Israel, they have what they call with them a toyan rabbani, which is sort of like a lawyer. Who knows the Shulchan Aruch and the Noise of Kalim and the Halachos and whatever, so that he can argue such things like Kindly and whatever on your behalf. Yeah.